After 5 blissful weeks of feeling great, morning sickness returned this morning. So if you see me make a quick dash for the door, someone could carry on with my notes, that would be great. So if I were to start this morning by saying, right, let's all go out on the streets and share the gospel and pray for those around us, what would your immediate feeling be? If I were to then say, and then today, I want you to call up or meet up with a family member, a friend or a colleague that isn't a Christian and share the gospel message with them and pray with them, what would your immediate feeling be? Just sit with that for a moment. Try not to push it away. Is it one of excitement or panic? Is it something you're looking forward to or dreading? If it's the first, then that's wonderful. You don't need to hear this, so you can go out and preach on the streets this morning. But if you're in the second group and are feeling a little bit uneasy, then that's okay. I would be too. Let's unpack what that might be about together this morning. In this series that we're doing as a church, leading up to the summer, we're exploring what it means to share the love of Jesus with others. It sounds great, doesn't it? But in order to truly be inspired to actually do what we say we want to do, we need to unpack some of the things that are stopping us from doing that, some of the things that are holding us back, and some of those barriers in sharing the love of Jesus with a world that so desperately needs it. I want you to know that this is a safe space this morning, because actually beginning to look at some of the things that we're living with can be pretty scary in itself. If I'm honest, being the person to share this with you this morning is scary enough for me. But in order to look at the fear that we've got going on, it often means that we need to look at the roots that are deep down, and that can be a really, really intense thing for people. So let's make this a safe space for each other this morning. We'll be making time at the end after I've spoken to pray together and invite God in. This all sounds pretty heavy, doesn't it? But there is good news. The truth is, you are God's most perfect masterpiece. He is doing a good work in you and through you. So let the truth of that sit. In fact, if everyone could take a moment to close their eyes, I know it feels a little bit uncomfortable, but please close your eyes. And take a deep breath in. And slowly release it until you feel your shoulders start to drop. Allow yourself to feel the pressure lift this morning as the Father delights in you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and be with us this morning. As we start to look at some of the fears that have held us back, some of the fears that have stopped us from being obedient to you, God, I ask that you would be with us, that you would keep our hearts open to you. Help us to push through the things that are uncomfortable. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go back to those two questions that I asked you to begin with, and let's go a little bit deeper together. So whatever you were feeling, try and sit with it for a moment, as uncomfortable as I'm sure it was not. Think about that feeling and now try and move to your thoughts. Try and capture what it is that is going through your head at the thought of sharing the gospel and praying with those around you. If the thought isn't clear, then ask the Holy Spirit for help defining it. And if you're not sure, then that's no problem. You may begin to recognise some of the things that you're thinking as I go through a couple of examples. For me, there are two main things that go through my head, and they're mostly linked to telling family, friends, and colleagues about Jesus. The first is a fear of rejection. And in my head, it goes a little bit like this. What if they think I'm weird? What if they start acting weird around me? What if they don't want to be my friend anymore? What if they leave me? My thoughts here are reflecting my fear that they will leave me or that they'll reject me. And the truth is that they might. But there's a bigger truth, a better truth. that I will never be alone because my Father God has promised me that he will not forsake me. The second thing, which I think is much more scary for me to consider, is what if God doesn't show up how I want him to? What does it mean for me if God doesn't show up when I pray for people? What does that say about me? Am I not good enough? Does God love me enough? Is what the Bible says about God going with us really the truth? What does this mean about God and his nature? All these thoughts are intended to question my identity and God's nature, when the truth is that I am God's masterpiece. I am his beloved. I'm his child, and he is a good and faithful father. Maybe these aren't the thoughts that go through your head. Maybe your thoughts are more to do with the fear that you're not the right person to share. But the truth is that you all have a story to tell. Or maybe the thought that goes through your head is that people will judge you based on things that have happened in your past, which could happen. But the truth is that you are a new creation. He has washed you white as snow. And the freedom that comes with that is life-changing, and that's not just for you, that's life-changing for the people around you. Maybe your fear is of failure, or that you'll be abused verbally, or maybe even physically, if you share with someone who doesn't take what you're saying very well. But for every lie or doubt that the enemy would try to use to keep you living in fear, God has a truth for you that is far bigger and better than you can even imagine. They're scary thoughts to get into, aren't they? Well, I'm here this morning to tell you that fear, these fears, amongst others, are really normal. It's rational to fear rejection in relationships. It's rational to fear failing and messing up, or to question what it means for you if God doesn't show up the way that you expect him to. However, we're told by God time and time again throughout the Bible not to fear. And so even if it's a normal part of human life, one that God totally understands and has so much grace for, we do know that it's not God's best for us. He wants us to live life to the full. And that means as free people, free sons and daughters, free of the fear that would hold us back. The most terrifying fear, I don't know why I'm smiling, the most terrifying fear I've ever experienced was not long after I'd started secondary school. Autumn was moving into winter, and a young and naive 12-year-old me was walking home with my best friend. It was about 5 o'clock and the sun was going down. We used to take a shortcut that took us between, on a kind of darkish path, between my old infants and my old junior school. It was quite dark at this time of year and this time of day, but it would cut out about 20 minutes of our journey. And at that point in our day, it felt like a huge win for us. We very rarely saw anyone on that path until this day. As we reached the middle of the path, I heard footsteps approaching. They were large and felt really menacing. I glanced behind me to see a giant man striding closer and closer to us, holding some sort of gun to his chest. In that moment, my blood ran cold. I grabbed my friend's hand and ran as fast as I could to the entrance of the school, where a lady stood, surrounded by fudge bars, packets of Quavers and dib-dabs, talking into a phone. I pushed my way to the front of the queue and gasped, "There's a man with a gun heading towards the school. You've got to do something." And with that, I burst into petrified tears as the tuck shop lady slammed down the receiver and picked it up again to dial 999. At that moment, the door swung open and in strode the man. Hand clutched to his chest, holding his power drill. The caretaker, completing some DIY before the end of the day. You can only imagine the sheer relief and burning embarrassment that I experienced in that moment. The thing is, fear distorts our view of reality. Fear lies. Fear makes you see a gun instead of a power drill. It makes you think of the worst possible scenario and uses that thought to hold you back. Fear takes us back to the Garden of Eden and makes us doubt what God has actually said to us, who he is and our identity in him. It takes us right back to Genesis 3, where the serpent says, "Did God really say that?" And just like that, he begins to sow doubt about the very nature of God, about how he created us, and about the relationship that he longs to have with us. Fear of him not coming through for us. Fear of us not being who we think he is. Fear of us not being who we think we are in him. Does any of that sound familiar? It's the kind of subtle doubt and fear that we can go our whole lives carrying without realising the impact it has on us and those around us. I'd like to challenge you today. If this sounds at all familiar, get prayer, speak to somebody that you trust, seek God's truth for the renewal of your mind, because he has so much more for you. He has something to say about this, and he wants to bring freedom this morning. I want you to hear from two people I really admire this morning. People who have recently conquered their fears in order to pursue something they felt like God was telling them to do, and share the love of Jesus with people around them. Could we have the first video, please?
Good morning, church. Hello from sunny Australia. I just got back from the beach. That's why my hair's a bit crazy, because I've been in the water all day. But yeah, just popped on just to say hi and tell you guys kind of what we were up to the other day. So me and a few friends decided to go to a local university called Western Sydney University. I just caught the bus there just to go and kind of hang out with students and see if we could just chat to any of them and maybe share about Jesus or maybe pray for them, but we didn't really know what to expect. I caught the bus there, and on the way I was so scared. I think going back to uni since being there, and then the past few weeks just being here in our kind of little bubble up here, really freaked me out. And I was like, I don't know what people are going to say, I don't know what people are going to think. I just didn't know what to expect. So we kind of just went in, and I was like, you know what, I've got this, God's on my side. The worst I can say is I don't want to chat to you at all. Just be like, oh, sorry, I'm busy, and we have to walk off. So that was the worst thing. So we just went and sat down and chatted with some guys that were from India. One of the guys from Nepal. I'm trying to think where the other guys were. Yeah, kind of that area. Just chatting to them. They weren't part of any religion. Didn't believe in God. Nothing. And they just kind of asked us why we were in Sydney. So we started sharing about how we were at Bible College at Hillsong. And just one of them had a guitar, so one of the guys thought it'd be cool just to show him some of our Hillsong songs. And they were like, this is worship. How can this be worship? And how can these be church songs? And we just started that conversation. And at the start, they were really hesitant, as in a bit didn't know what to think of us. And by the end of the night, we were sitting there with the guitar. And we were singing worship songs with them, and it was really weird. We were sitting in this massive communal place in Western Sydney University, singing songs about God and how good God's love is for us. And just people walking past and just looking at us, and it echoed all the way up through the university. It was just mental, just sitting there. After, we just sat on the bus and we were like, how the heck did that happen? But it was cool, just us kind of stepping out in faith and stepping into something that we really felt God wanted us to do. And we don't know what the seeds have been planted there. And we're going to go back every single week. So every Thursday, we're going to go and just chat to people. And who knows, we might carry on those conversations. So, yeah, step out in faith. And I don't know, although it might be scary at the start, it's so worth it to just plant that little seed. But, yeah, I love and I miss you all so, so much. And I hope you have a great Sunday, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye.
And news just in. Alicia said, the text has literally just come through. Alicia said that some of those people came to church with them this Sunday and gave their lives to Jesus. It's crazy, isn't it? So the second person that I would like to share this morning is Millie. Can you come up, Millie? We're going to have a little interview. Say hello.
Hello.
So, Millie, can you tell us a little bit about what happened before we started Alpha together last year?
Well, I heard there was a lot of talk about it. So, like, they were saying you should invite your friends and, yeah, it's going to be really cool. So I prayed about it. I talked about it to my parents. And, I decided to invite some of my friends, which was I decided to invite a lot of friends because I just thought everyone else was going to invite loads and loads of friends. That's what happened.
And one of your friends, she's not a Christian, is she? And didn't want anything to do with God, was very clear that she was an atheist and didn't believe in anything like that. How did you feel about inviting her?
Well, I was so scared of asking her, I decided maybe I shouldn't ask her at all, which was the first thought that came to my mind. So after I'd talked about it and I went to school and I spoke about it to my friends and I gave them the information, I didn't exactly talk to that person about it. But then she came up to me and she was like, "What is this thing that everyone's talking about? It sounds so fun." And I was like, it's actually a Christian youth thing which we're doing at my church called Alpha. And she was like, "No way, that sounds like a lot of fun. Can I come?" And I was like, "Yes."
So going back to when you said that you felt like scared and nervous to ask her, what were you scared might happen if you did ask her?
Well, like you were saying earlier, I was scared that she was going to think I was an absolute weirdo. Like, why is she asking me to go there when she knows that I don't believe in, like, Christianity or anything like that at all? I was really scared. She sometimes can have, like, strong opinions, so I was scared she just, like, wouldn't like me at all after that. Like, she wouldn't want to be my friend.
And how did she get on at Alpha? Did she enjoy it?
She absolutely loved it. Like, she thought it was awesome because there was all of these, like, virtual reality headsets and, like, cool games and, like, Nintendo Switch. So we just had such a fun time. She loved it.
Thank you, Millie. Isn't that amazing? So the good news, as we've heard here, is that we can choose how we respond to fear. We can choose to walk away and stay silent, or we can choose to push through our fear, whatever the cost, and lean wholly on God, knowing that we actually can't do this in our own strength. Like Ellie did in that university in Sydney, or Millie did with her friends at school, we can choose to trust God, and in the process become more and more like him. Because the truth is, you could never tell anyone about Jesus for the rest of your life. And that would not change how he feels about you and how much he loves you. But there's more when we unpack this truth. He loves us so much that he wants us to grow in the things that scare us, relying on him and him alone when we're afraid, ultimately becoming more and more like him. There's loads to unpack to do with fear and sharing the gospel. But if there's one thing I could get you to hear this morning, it would be this. Your words and your stories have power. If you were at our Sphere family camp last weekend, like Lorraine mentioned earlier, you'd have heard Deborah Green share about how we are God's workmanship from Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. The Greek word she shared with us instead of workmanship is poema, and that's the root word for our word poem. We are God's poema, his poem. That's so beautiful. Your life is a poem being written, and he has prepared good works for the poem of your life. Your poem matters, and your voice matters. Sharing the things that Jesus has done in your life, the freedom he's brought you from addiction, the way he unlocked hope and healing in your heart, the miracle he did that couldn't be explained any other way. These are your stories, and your words have power. These are treasures he has gifted you in his unfathomable kindness. No one else is the same poem as you. No one else has the same story as you. And sharing these stories with people who are yet to meet Jesus, whether out on the streets with a complete stranger, or with a colleague or a family member, has the power to unlock things in their lives. Maybe they too need to be set free from an addiction, or have been suffering from a physical pain and need to meet the healer. Maybe their heart has been hurt like yours, and they need a touch from the comforter that you know. Or maybe they want waking up from a life with little meaning or hope. Whatever it is, whatever your story, God has given it to you, and there's power in sharing this with others, because your life is a poem and there's power in that poem. There was once a woman who met Jesus at a well in Samaria. Jesus asked the woman for a drink, which was unheard of at the time because Jesus, being a Jew, would not have been expected to speak to a Samaritan woman. What happens next is a beautiful conversation between the Lord of all and the woman at the well. A conversation where Jesus revealed his knowledge about things in her life. It was then that she saw him for who he truly is. And as a result of that woman's testimony of the man she had met at the well, many others gave their lives to Jesus because of the power in her story, because of the power that Jesus had given to her story. Fear wants us to stay silent, not to speak up and share the amazing things that Jesus has done in our lives. Fear undermines what God wants to do in us and says that our testimonies will be ridiculed, that they won't be believed, that we'll mess up telling them, and that there's no point in sharing them. But God encourages us, do not fear. His promise to us is that the Holy Spirit, our helper, will give us the words to say. Now, in the context of the Bible, this promise was made during a time of great trial and danger. But I don't believe that this was a promise purely for that situation and time. This is our helper. This is our Holy Spirit. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason I believe this to be true is because I've experienced it in my own life. I used to be terrified of speaking in front of people, whether that was sharing in a small group setting, sharing one-to-one on the streets, sharing in front of a large group like this, or even answering just one friend's questions. The fear of saying something silly or wrong, the fear of being judged, and ultimately the fear of being rejected and unloved was crippling. If I felt like I had something to say, it felt like there was an elephant sat on my chest. My heart would be pounding and I'd be struggling to breathe properly until I pushed down whatever it was that I felt I needed to share. And with that, the feeling would go away, but in its place, there was shame. But that was preferable to the elephant. I went on like this for years and years. I remember almost ruining a murder mystery game that was organised for Kirsty Heaton's birthday one year. We'd all dressed up as our characters and enjoyed a lovely meal together, and we'd sat down to play the game. We were given these little pieces of paper at the beginning of each round that had got clues on them. And as we read these clues out as the rounds progressed, it would eventually lead us to solving the mystery. In round one, I'd been given one of these clues to read. And the idea was that I read it out in round one. I was supposed to read it in front of a room full of my dearest friends, people that I knew loved me and people that I knew were for me. But nevertheless, I could not read out what was on that paper. The rounds went by and it got to about round five or round six and I still hadn't read out my clue from round one and the game had stopped making sense. I was literally ruining the game for my friends and poor Kirsty. Even so, I couldn't make myself read out those two sentences on a piece of paper. Thankfully, during one of the following rounds, Matt or Dan Maley figured out a clue had been missed and helped me share that clue with the group. Now, I know that that story has nothing to do with sharing the gospel, but I want you to know how hard it was for me to speak up, even in the simplest of ways, all because of fear. During my early 20s, my relationship with God began to go a lot deeper. Oh, this is probably when I'll cry. He was changing my view of him and my view of myself. I fell head over heels in love with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit became very real to me, as opposed to this mystical creature that I'd imagined. And God revealed himself to me as the most perfect father. As a result, God began to challenge me on suppressing the voice he had given me. When he gave me thoughts, convictions, and stories to tell, who was I to keep them locked up and hidden from the places I was in or the people he'd put before me? I had to answer the question, was I being obedient to him and his voice, choosing to put my trust in him, or was I choosing to stay living and listening to the voice of fear? It was, and to some extent still is, an exhausting journey of choosing what doesn't feel natural to me at all. Choosing to believe truths instead of lies, and choosing to take courage instead of fear. God, in his ultimate kindness, has been rewiring how I think about sharing my life with those around me, and has put me in places I would never have had the courage to go on my own. I've shared the love of Jesus at conferences, at youth events in Kenya, on the street with on the street with strangers, in supernatural schools, in the supermarket with checkout ladies called Florence, and some really, really bizarre places, like on the phone to an O2 customer service lady who's waiting patiently for a husband, and sharing a prophetic picture with a masseuse who ended up on her knees, arms raised, shouting, "Hallelujah, Jesus," and us praying together, resulting in me missing half of my massage. It doesn't get much weirder than that. But I don't tell you these things from the past few years to big myself up. It's purely to say, look what the Lord has done. He's taken me from someone who was afraid to speak to someone who is able to share the goodness of God with those around her. Fear doesn't get the final say. God does. And that's not just true for my life, but for everybody's here. When you take him with you, whether out on the streets with a colleague or with a family member, he goes with you, and his promise in Matthew 10 is that you do not need to fear what you will say or how you will say it, because it's the Holy Spirit who's speaking through you. He's the one that uses your words. He wants to partner with you, whether that's through sharing a testimony or offering prayer to someone in need. Do not worry. Do not fear. If this is something that resonates with you, please don't leave this morning without having someone pray with you. Your voice and your words are so important, and Jesus is so excited to use them to call his sons and his daughters home.